Hi, and welcome back to A Twist of Fate. This week, we are talking about Eileen Wuornos. Eileen was born February 29, 1956, in Rochester, Michigan, growing up in a nearby Troy area to the south. She had a horrible childhood, and her father had killed himself while serving prison time for child molestation, and her mother abandoned Eileen and her older brother Keith, and they were left to be raised by their grandparents. Her grandma was supposedly an alcoholic, and her grandpa was terrifying and violent. Eileen would later say she was sexually abused by her grandpa and had sex with her brother. She got pregnant in her early teens, and the baby boy was given up for adoption. During this time, she was forced out of the house and had to live in the woods. Having previously been a ward of the state, Eileen lived a vagabond type of life as an adult, hitchhiking and engaging in sex work to survive. She was arrested in the mid-1970s for charges that were related to assault and disorderly conduct. She eventually settled in Florida, where she met a wealthy yachtsman, Lewis Fell. They got married in 1976, but not that short after Lewis annulled the marriage after Eileen was arrested again. A decade later, after being involved in numerous additional crimes, Eileen met Tyria Moore, who was 24 years old, and they met in Daytona, Florida. Eileen's first victim was Richard Molloy, who was 51 years old and was a Clearwater electronics shop owner. On December 1st, 1989, a deputy in Volusia County discovered an abandoned vehicle that belonged to Richard. His body was found December 13th, several miles away in a wooded area. He had been shot multiple times, and the cause of death was two bullets to the left lung that caused hemorrhaging. Her next victim was David Spears, who was 43 years old and was a winter garden construction worker. His body was found June 1, 1990, along Highway 19 in Citrus County. Only a baseball hat was found on his nude body, and he died of six bullet wounds in the torso. Charles Karskadin was a 40-year-old part-time rodeo worker. His body was found June 6, 1990, in Pasco County. The medical examiner found nine small caliber bullets in his lower chest and upper abdomen. Troy Burris was a 50-year-old sausage salesman from Ocala. He was reported missing July 31, 1990. On August 4, 1990, officers found his body in a wooded area along State Road 19 in Marion County. His body was substantially decomposed, and evidence shown he was shot twice. Charles Dick Humphrey was a 56-year-old retired Air Force major, a former police chief, and a Florida State child abuse investigator. His body was found fully clothed, and he was shot six times in the head and torso in Marion County. On September 12, 1990, his car was found in Suwanee County. Walter Gino Antonio was 62 years old, and his body was found November 19, 1990, near a remote logging road in Dixie County. He was mostly nude and had been shot four times in the back and the head. Police officers found Antonio's car 5 days later in Brevard County. Peter Sims was 65 years old, and in June 1990, he left Jupiter, Florida, and was heading to New Jersey. Police found his car in Orange Springs on July 4, 1990. Witnesses identified Tyria Moore and Eileen leaving the car where it was found. A palm print on the interior door handle matched Eileen's, and Peter's body was never found. December 1989, Eileen had started killing men in and around Central Florida. She was living in the Daytona Beach area, but she hitchhiked along highways all over Central and North Florida as a prostitute. She claimed that the men who picked her up beat and raped her, and she shot them in self-defense, but she also robbed them. January 9, 1991, Eileen was arrested. January 16th, she confessed to one of the murders, saying it was self-defense. November 21st, Arlene Prale, a 44-year-old born-again Christian, and her husband legally adopted Eileen. January 14th, 1992, Eileen went on trial for the Mallory murder. January 27th, she was convicted of the murder of Richard Malloy. Mallory. January 31st, Eileen received the death sentence. Eileen's appeal to the Supreme Court was denied in 1996, and in 2001, she announced that she wouldn't issue any more appeals against her death sentence. She petitioned the Florida Supreme Court for the right to fire her legal counseling and stop all appeals, saying, "I killed those men, robbed them as cold as ice, and I'd do it again, too. There's no chance in keeping me alive or anything because I'd kill again. I have hate crawling through my system. I am so sick of hearing this, she's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. I'm one who seriously hates human life and would kill again." A defense attorney argued that she was in no state for them to honor her request. Florida Governor Jeb Bush instructed 3 psychiatrists to give Eileen a 15-minute interview. The test for competency requires the psychiatrist to be convinced that the condemned person understands that she will die and for which crime she is being executed. All 3 judged her mentally fit to be executed. She later started accusing the prison matrons of abusing her. She accused them of tainting her food, spitting on it, serving her potatoes cooked in dirt, and her food arriving with urine. She also claimed she overheard a conversation about trying to get me so pushed over the brink by them I'd wind up committing suicide before the execution and wishing to rape me before the execution. She also complained of strip searches, being handcuffed so tightly that her wrist bruised anytime she left her cell, door kicking, frequent window checks by matrons, low water pressure, mildew on her mattress, and a catcalling in distaste and pure hatred towards me, she had said. Eileen threatened to boycott showers and food trays when specific officers were on duty. She said, "In the meantime, my stomach's growling away and I'm taking showers through the sink in my cell." Her attorney stated, "Miss Warnos really just wants to have proper treatment, humane treatment, until the day she's executed," and had said, "If the allegations don't have any truth to them, she's clearly delusional, but she believes what she has written." During the final stages of the appeal process, she gave a series of interviews to Broomfield. In her final interview, shortly before her execution, she claimed that her mind was being controlled by sonic pressure to make her appear crazy and described her impending death as being taken away by angels on a spaceship. She said to Broomfield, "You sabotaged my ass society and the cops and the system. A raped woman got executed and was used for books, movies, and shit." Her final words in the on-camera interview were, "Thanks a lot, society, for railroading my ass." Broomfield later met Don Botkins, a childhood friend of Eileen's, who told him, "She's sorry, Nick. She didn't give you the finger. She gave the media the finger and the attorneys the finger, and she knew if she had said much more, it would make a difference on her execution tomorrow, so she decided not to." Eileen was brought to the death chamber on October 9, 2002. She was given a $20 budget and had KFC as her last meal. Her last words were, "Yes, I would just like to say I'm sailing with the rock, and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus, June 6th like the movie, big mothership and all, I'll be back. At 9:47 a.m., Eileen Warnos died. She was the 10th woman in the United States to be executed since the Supreme Court lifted the ban on capital punishment in 1976, and the 2nd woman ever executed in Florida. After her execution, her body was cremated. Her ashes were taken by Dawn back to Michigan and spread beneath a tree. she requested Natalie Merchant's song Carnival was played at her funeral. Natalie Merchant commented on this when asked why her song was played during the credits of the documentary Eileen, Life and Death of a Serial Killer. She wrote, "When director Nick Broomfield sent a working edit of the film, I was so disturbed by the subject matter that I couldn't even watch it. Eileen Wuornos led a tortured life that is beyond my worst nightmares. It wasn't until I was told that Eileen spent many hours listening to my album Tiger Lily while on death row and requested Carnival be played at her funeral that I gave permission for the use of the song. It's very odd to think of the places my music can go once it leaves my hands. If it gave her some solace, I have to be grateful." Broomfield later stated, "I think this anger developed inside of her. And she was working as a prostitute. I think this anger just spilled out from inside of her and finally exploded into incredible violence. That was her way of surviving. I think Eileen really believed that she had killed in self-defense. I think someone who's deeply psychotic can't really tell the difference between something that is life-threatening and something that is a minor disagreement. You could say something that she didn't agree with and she would go into screaming black temper about it. And I think that's what had caused these things to happen. At the same time, when she wasn't in those extreme moods, there was an incredible humanity to her." This has been A Twist of Fate. Come back next week for a new episode. Thank you so much for listening.